Welcome back into College Football Game Day on Sports Radio 810 WHB on a beautiful Saturday in Kansas City. I'm Todd Lebo, not Danny Klingscale. Stan Weber is still Stan Weber, and Chris Gervino has always been Chris Gervino from the Tiger Network. He's with the Missouri Tigers in Kentucky. Chris, how are you guys doing? How was travel? You guys went early to Kentucky, correct?
Right, Todd. Good to be with you and Stan. And came over Thursday night, a little longer trip than usual, but it was by design. They had some construction going on at the Columbia Airport. I don't know all the specifics, but I know they're working on extending the runways for future use. But in the meantime, caused us to come over early. But no problem. Full day Friday, getting ahead of game day Saturday night. So we'll have been here for a few days by the time it's kickoff. But really looking forward to what should be a big game, a pivotal game, albeit early in the season.
Todd, I've worked with Chris Gervino enough. We did arena football leagues together that I know it's not going to throw him off at all to be at the site a day early. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very good. He knows
there.
People in town. We used to see the sites. You know, there's some Kentucky horse farms. It's beautiful weather. A great way for him to have spent Friday. I'm not worried about his broadcast at all tonight. He'll be ready to rock and roll. But for a football team, this is unique. It's something to watch tonight. Will it have effect on the Tigers? Because they were in the hotel. It's not a Major League Baseball team that is used to hanging out for a three-game series. You go in, get a quick night in the hotel, get up and get ready to play. The Tigers are there on Thursday, have to find a way to function on Friday, walkthroughs, practice, whatever, and then sit around in a hotel for a night game. Chris, any prediction about how Coach Drinkwitz is trying to get his team ready for this? This is absolutely unique. College football teams do not go in a day early.
Right. No, you know, it's interesting, and I look forward to visiting him about that because I think it is different. I guess the one thing that, you know, might be okay for them or a quote-unquote non-factor is just that it is the first road trip of the season, and it's new for a lot of these guys in this particular group anyway, you know, in terms of having something to base it off of, you know, first time out. So we'll see. I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about it afterwards if it's a good result or a bad result and how this, if at all, affected them. I do know, like, Thursday in a couple of weeks, they're going up to Boston for the Boston College game, and you know, that might be more of a thing you might do anyway just because it's a longer trip and somewhere they certainly have not been in all my years here. So those are the only two that they're going in 2 days early. And, again, this first one to Kentucky is really a, quote-unquote, a long, short trip because it's only an hour flight, but they just had to get out a day early because of some of the limitations. So I think, you know, once they get this one out of the way, most of the others will really be pretty normal. But it could be a factor. You know, first road trip any year, any circumstances, always makes you wonder going in, and this one especially so.
We're talking to Chris Gervino on College Football Game Day here on Saturday morning, getting ready for Missouri and Kentucky. It'll be tonight, which is 6:30 our time, but it's 7:30 in Lexington. It's a weird one. It's a short trip, but it's a different time zone. All that stuff's crazy. But, Chris, let's talk about what's on the field right now, because Missouri was a winner last week against Central Michigan, but I don't think anyone came away blown away with the Tigers at this point. So there's probably some trepidation. I've heard that in Eli Drinkwitz's voice this week leading up that Kentucky's a very good team. They feel like they're solid on both sides of the ball. Just what are your early thoughts about what you saw from the Tigers last week and how this challenge will step up being a road game against what looks like a quality SEC team?
Right. Well, I think it will be a tough game for Missouri. The Tigers are slight underdogs, so 5-point underdogs last I checked, and of course a lot of that simply probably because Kentucky is the home team, but it is a good solid football team. I mean, Mark Stoops has slowly and steadily built the program. I think he's 50-50 overall now in 9 years, so he's again slowly but steadily really brought this team into what I would call a solid SEC program. It's not won the East or contending for the title, but it's a certainly middle of the pack type team in this strong conference, and that's saying something with 14 teams, and when the top, you know, five or six in a given year are, you know, certainly the top 15, top 20 in the country. They've got a new quarterback, Will Levis, a Penn State transfer, had a big game in their big win over Louisiana Monroe a week ago, 4 touchdowns, 367 yards. They still like to run the ball, as they always have under Stoops. You've got Chris Rodriguez back there, Kavassier Smoke, a couple of guys who've been around a while, so I think it will be a challenge, and I think Missouri's got to play better. Eli Drinkwitz, as you mentioned, Todd, really kind of sounded concerned. You know, I thought the defense obviously gave up a lot of yards and, you know, had some challenges. And they've got to be better. And it starts tonight for them to, you know, really try to have a good season. I think this game will go a long way to determining just how good a year Missouri could have.
You know, it's interesting you say that because it is such a pivotal game. If you win this game, well, you have a real chance to get off to a great start the way the schedule lays out. But this is a challenge. And Kentucky against Missouri has gone UK's way many, many times, but not with Coach Drinkwitz. What's it like? What's the atmosphere like when you're at a game at Kentucky? I played there one time, but that was a long, long time ago. You know, how does it feel? How will the teams function with the fans in the stands? Will they affect the game that much?
Well, it's not the biggest stadium by any means in the league. It's a little smaller than Missouri's stadium. Commonwealth Stadium here holds 61,000. And yet, having said that, the fan support, at least to me, has gotten better for the Wildcats in the years Missouri's been in this league because the team's gotten better under Mark Stoops. So it's not really a loud or what I would call rowdy or raucous crowd, but it's a good crowd. They show up, they do cheer, and the games have obviously gotten tougher here over the years. Missouri's trip years ago, I think it was the first time they came over, they had Matty Mauk and Doriel Green Beckham, and if I remember, DGB had four touchdown catches in that game, and Missouri really put it to the Wildcats here in Lexington. Of course, that was a good Missouri team that won the SEC East. So Kentucky's not gotten a division title since Missouri's been in the league with them, but they have gotten better, and the crowds have gotten better, the support's gotten better, so I fully expect, with it to be the SEC opener for both teams, it's going to be a pretty good atmosphere tonight.
You know, people talk about, you know, histories and, you know what a team is and you know, have they been ranked, all this stuff. Did you know that Mark Stoops is Kentucky's second winningest coach ever?
All time.
All time. He's got 50 wins. That's all he's got. And that's the second winningest coach ever. So he's kind of building something there because they were on a rotation. It was just like a coach every two or three years or whatever. It shows what can actually happen. We've seen this here locally at, you know, Kansas. Every two, 3 years, they're flipping through coaches. We've seen it happen at Kansas State before Bill Snyder got there. It's like no one got a chance to really go do anything. Mark Stoops wasn't very good early, and then they kind of got to be kind of a bowl team. You have to stick with people for a while, but they also have to stick with you, and that's what he's done as well. And they really look legit this year, and part of it, Chris, you mentioned, was that transfer quarterback. The transfer quarterback game is amazing in college football right now because you just look up.
It's better than NFL free agency because you don't have a contract.
No.
The backups in the NFL have a contract. They can't leave.
No,
here you just say, you know, for instance, K-State's getting ready to play Southern Illinois tonight. There was a quarterback battle, okay? There was a quarterback battle in the spring because they played in the spring, right? And the quarterback that didn't get the job went to the transfer portal.
Okay. Just like that.
Just like that. So then they come into the fall, and they have a different quarterback that's good. And Nick Baker, the guy who wins the job, won some games last year. But he comes back off injury. He battles. It's close. He wins the battle. The guy transfers and goes to the transfer portal. He's not on the trip to Manhattan.
It's wild, man.
He's gone. He's like, nope, if I'm not
right
going to start, I'm almost a starter, and he won't even wait for an injury or an opportunity. Nope. He's to the transfer portal.
And it happened at Kentucky. You know, Joey Gatewood, who was the big Auburn commit a few years ago, who left there, of course, and then he ends up at Kentucky, didn't win the job. He's already at Central Florida. So he's just like,
That's
out.
That's amazing. But hand it to Mark Stoops, because last year when we were getting ready for this game, Chris, the Tigers were limited. I mean, the Tigers had an advantage with Nick Bolton and the power, you know, the guys that would hit at the line of scrimmage. But the real advantage was Mark Stoops' offense was limited. It was 1975. You know, they were going to make it a low-scoring game if they could, and you thought they might. You know, it could be a good game. And Kentucky had beaten Missouri a number of years in a row. But offensively, all they could do was run. It was no diversity, just hoping to, you know, play action pass and throw it down. And Todd knows about those wishbone days when Keith Jackson was open. It might work, but they'd have no Keith Jackson. So there was almost no chance Kentucky was a real threat to Missouri to me last year. They've turned it around this year, and you wouldn't know if you changed the uniforms. You'd have no idea Mark Stoops is the coach out there. They threw the ball effectively last week, four touchdown passes, and it was not fluke. These were good offensive plays. Missouri's got to be ready to stop the pass today, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and Levis gives them a new dimension at quarterback, and Stoops saw that need and brought him in there, and it looks good so far through one game. And, you know, you're right, Kentucky had won five in a row against Missouri in this series before the Tigers turned the tables finally last year. And to your point about Stoops earlier, Todd, I'd said that exact same thing on some of our game broadcasts between Mizzou and Kentucky over the years. It shows you what being patient with a coach would do, because he wasn't exactly setting the world on fire. But Kentucky, of course, hadn't been great, to your point, in football. Known a little bit more for basketball, I'd say, here in the Bluegrass State. But and it goes back, too, I think, even to Missouri. You go back to Gary Pinkel's days. You know, he had three losing seasons in his first full years, and folks were getting kind of upset. But they stayed with him. They stayed consistent. And he stayed with his own program and, of course, turned into winningest coach in Mizzou history. So it does take a lot of patience. That's easier said than done sometimes for fans, especially early in a coaching tenure that maybe hasn't started so well. But Stoops and even Gary Pinkel, I think, on Missouri's side, great examples of that patience and consistency over time, if given that time.
Well, Gary Pinkel's is the greatest because athletic directors and alumni want to see some changes when you're not winning. Well, we'll let you be the head coach, but you got to, you know, take care of a coordinator or two, show some blood and some change.
Yeah,
and
that.
Gary Pinkel just said, no, I'm sticking with my guys, and I believe in myself. And he was under tight pressure right when he turned it around. So it's an amazing story at Missouri. We believe in Eli Drinkwitz. I think the fans do. You get to work closely with him. He seems to be a good guy, understands offense so well. Do you think this game has a larger meaning than just the 2021 season in any way? Because I think more than likely you would think Georgia – and probably Florida are going to be pretty good at football most years over a 10-year period. Tennessee might even come back. But Kentucky, they're in the middle, and Missouri needs to, in the food chain, push them back and say, no, we're the team that's at least the third best in this division, and we're going to head our way up as it gets into conference realignment and even gets harder. Do you think that matters at all, where Kentucky versus Missouri, is there more on the line than just the 2021 season with these two teams?
Well, I think there might be, you know, especially for guys like us who like to talk a lot, but hopefully know something about it, too. The coaches would never admit that. They're just going to talk about one game, and I get it. They got to focus on that. But think about it, Stan. You mentioned Georgia and Florida, usually the cream of the crop in the SEC East. They've won 7 of the last 9 division titles. And, of course, the other 2 belong to Mizzou in those 9 years since Missouri joined the East. So Kentucky's never won a division title in those days, nor has Tennessee or South Carolina or Vanderbilt. And I do think this is a big game, certainly for this season and maybe beyond, as to who can be that third best team. And I guess you got to take steps, the third best at least, if not challenged for a division crown this season or the coming years. And Kentucky's become solid and consistent, certainly not spectacular. But Missouri, if it could get another win over Kentucky, a second year in a row, and hopefully propel them to a good season this year and just drink with second season, you know, that would really be saying something. Because again, those other teams, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, not much there. I'm kind of like you. I think we think, you know, Tennessee should be good. You know, if you've been there and seen the facilities and the support, you think they should be good. Of course, they were good back in the day, but it's been a while now. They've been rotating through coaches left and right. Josh Heupel, maybe he's the guy to get things done. But after Georgia and Florida, it's like, who's next? And it's kind of been a little bit of a revolving door, especially with Missouri and now Kentucky. Over the few years, and this game, I think, really sets up big for the winner. And again, I look at it more from Missouri's standpoint, obviously, because if Missouri can win this, they're home to Southeast Missouri next week. They've got somewhat of a tricky one, I think, at Boston College, a non-conference road game. But then they come back, they've got Tennessee and North Texas at home. So that's the first half of the season, their first 6 games, you know, 4 at home, 2 on the road. And these 2 on the road are tricky, Kentucky and Boston College. Not gimmies by any means. Mizzou an underdog against Kentucky. Who knows what it will be against Boston College, but that was a 500 team last year. So really, really, I look at these 2 games at Kentucky, at Boston College. I look at them both. Coaches, of course, say one at a time. But I think they're huge in terms of how this season will go for Missouri.
Chris Giovino from the Tiger Network is our guest on College Football Game Day. Missouri and Kentucky tonight in Lexington. Now, I liked some of the stuff I saw from Missouri defensively. Got after the quarterback, but when you look deeper into it, they had to kind of get tricky to do it. It was linebacker blitzes and things like that. They kind of sacrificed a little bit in the run game because the running backs from Central Michigan did a nice job. But the stats didn't look awful because in college football, the sacks come off the rushing totals. Defensively, what does Missouri need to be better at this week against a better team?
I think the line's got to be better, and I think they expect the defensive line to be better. They can't get pushed around or pushed off the ball in the running game, and believe me, that's what Kentucky's going to try to do. As good as Will Levis was last week, and while he adds a real passing threat and dimension to that attack, Kentucky, we've known for the most part under Stoops, is a
run first football team. They think, and I've heard others say, they've got the best offensive line in the SEC. And again, that's saying something. I don't know if they're the best, but I know they're regarded as really good. So I think right off the bat, that's a big challenge up front. It always is in this conference. But look at Kentucky's offensive line versus Missouri's defensive line. They've got to hold strong against the run and get some pass rush in addition to those blitzes that they had with the linebacker Blaze Aldridge and those 3.5 sacks. I mean, you're right. All that pressure really came from linebacker blitzes primarily.
Chris Trevino, big game tonight against Kentucky. Can't wait for that. But our chance to talk to you here, what do you think overall about Mizzou? You know, for instance, on the offensive side, a running back steps up after you lost a great one last year. Quarterback starting, gets into his sophomore year, should be able to continue to play at a high level. Your thoughts on the offense and just overall, how good do you really think Mizzou is this year if things go well?
Well, speaking about the offense, I'm a big Tyler Beatty guy. I think he is so versatile and valuable. You know, he was such a great compliment to Larry Roundtree, who was the workhorse, 22 carries a game last year, now with the Chargers in the NFL. And Beatty is a terrific rusher and receiver. He's got great speed. He's got 12 rushing touchdowns, 10 receiving touchdowns in his career. He's just about 100 yards, a little more than 100 yards, from becoming the first player in Missouri history to run for 1,000 yards and receive for 1,000 yards in his career. A lot of people might think of Jeremy Maclin, but many of his yards carrying the football was as a return man in addition to receiving. And, you know, Beatty is just he's just such a versatile guy. Last year he averaged 5 yards per carry, 12 per catch, and then he comes out his first start his senior year, 200 yards. So the big question is him, is he going to be durable enough? He put on some weight, muscle in the offseason, looked good carrying it 23 times for 205 a week ago. And then we'll just see. I mean, Connor Bazelak's got a step forward, had a very good freshman season. I think the offensive line is pretty good. The receivers, we'll see. They've got numbers there. Do they have a lot of quality? That's got to be shown. But the offense, we think, Stan, is the stronger part of this team going in. The big question, and still after last week, obviously, as we talked about earlier, when you talk about how good this team can be as the defense. Last year, they ended giving up 148 points in the final 3 games of the season, and 2 of those were losses to Georgia and Mississippi State in lopsided fashion. The other game, Missouri won on a last-second-made field goal as time expired against Arkansas. So the defense has got to be much better. You can't expect to win any games, really, when you're allowing 50 points a game over that 3-game stretch.
You mentioned Connor Bazelak. Let's talk about him a little bit, Chris. You know, people were pretty excited. I always like having returning quarterback, regardless, right? It's a good thing because you anticipate they will get better as they go. But when you go back and look at what he did last year, it was pretty pedestrian, right? I mean, 7 touchdowns, 6 picks. He's already off to 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's good, right? It's only 1 game. I hate to make judgments on 1 game of anything, but does he look like he's made a leap in a grasp of the offense yet for Eli Drinkwitz? Because Eli Drinkwitz is an offensive guy, right? I expect if he's got a quarterback who's back for his second year or maybe third year, whenever that comes, that he will put some numbers up, right? We see numbers all across college football. Is Bazelak ready to make that leap to be one of those quarterbacks? You're like, oh, well, there's, you know, 28, 29 touchdowns, 30 touchdowns, and 4 or 5 picks instead of 7 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Well, we're going to find out a lot tonight. And again, like you said, you don't want to put too much on 1 game last week. You can't put everything on this game tonight. But Eli Drinkwitz, offensive guy, Mark Stoops, defensive guy with their coaching background. So they'll kind of butt heads coaching-wise, if you will, tonight. But I like Bazelak. I think he's really cool and composed. You mentioned the interceptions. Last season he had his worst game at the end of the season against Mississippi State when he threw 3 interceptions. And, of course, that was as much as we'd seen from him all season long, you know, in a 10-game all-SEC schedule. So I thought he was pretty good. I think they feel really good about having him this season. And he was not spectacular in game 1, but he didn't really have mistakes. They want him to throw the ball downfield more. You saw that the first play from scrimmage on the pass to Boo Smith there out of Kansas City, the big game that then set up Tyler Beatty's touchdown run on the second play from scrimmage. So they will try to stretch the defense. I think they were maybe relatively vanilla, quote-unquote, against Central Michigan. I mean, it was a close game, don't get me wrong, but I think we're going to see a lot more in that deep playbook from Drinkwitz as time goes on, and maybe even tonight. But I do. I like Bazelak. I really do. You know, time's going to tell. if he's going to be a four-year starter type or an all-conference type selection. But I do think he was really good last year as a freshman starter up until that last game against Mississippi State. His one really poor game.
Big game tonight. I cannot wait for this ball game.
And
Chris Gervinho will be calling it. Now, Chris, I got to ask you one question because you're 2 hours down the road. You're very focused on the football season, and we love focusing on that aspect of it as well. But in Kansas City here, there is obviously other things going on and distractions when it comes to college football, and that's conference realignment. I'm interested just to hear your thoughts. Does it even register because you know where Missouri is and you've been through this 10 years ago and you're just going to move on and get ready to play, where KU and K-State, these kind of subjects are being talked about all over the country? Just your perspective is taking a step back. Does it make you happy to go, I'm glad we don't have to deal with this, I'm glad we're in the SEC? Just your take as you sit 2 hours away in Columbia around the Tiger program when you hear all this talk and consternation and questions and movements that are happening with KU, K-State, Iowa State, et cetera.
Well, I am, you know, glad to be at Mizzou, obviously. I'm glad they're in the SEC because of all the nonsense and the realignment and this and that, not knowing, you know, frankly, who to believe and where you're going to be and what a landing spot is. And, I mean, I put it this way, and I've heard so many fans say and come up to me and say, you know, thank God Missouri made the move to the SEC, or the SEC, you know, was willing to invite and accept Missouri to the conference years ago with Texas A&M because of all that's gone on in the Big 12. And it's sad, and I always say this, whenever I come on with you guys or any of you guys in Kansas City, and you know this, and Todd knows this, I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, followed the Big 8, OU, OSU closely as a kid, came to Mizzou, obviously, went to school there, been there ever since. So I go back to the Big 8 and the Big 12, but it's not what it was, and I'm sure fans don't want my sympathy. I feel for the folks at KU and K-State. I really do, because of the uncertainty in that conference and what may happen. I really do. And then I look at it from Missouri's standpoint and the SEC standpoint, and I thought it was an absolutely incredible move for them to be able to land Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, you guys know they're the two biggest brands out there, quote-unquote available, I guess you would say, other than Notre Dame probably, and what they'll add to the SEC. I mean, my goodness, the strong conference that it is now gets those two teams, and it's really going to be incredible. And I think, you know, in time here, when all the dust has settled, at least for the time being, with those two schools joining the league, maybe Missouri's in a better geographic spot, too, within the league, i.e. playing in the West Division or maybe in a quadrant with the likes of Arkansas, Oklahoma, and who knows else. But, you know, it's kind of silly as we're sitting here in the SEC East with the Missouri Tigers. So I think that the league got better. The fans are excited, really excited about Oklahoma and Texas. And, you know, I like it because it goes back to the Big 12 days and, you know, dare I say it, another chance to root against the Longhorns. That would be
getting moved to the West and getting redivisioned may help Missouri. But I guess the last question, right, other people are screaming at the radio right now, is you got to ask the question, though, Missouri, do you like being moved two spots down from where you were in the football conference? There's no way you don't put Oklahoma and Texas over a 20-year period. They're going to outproduce Mizzou most years. So you've now moved in your own area. The pond you're in is the big pond, but you've been moved down. Does that worry you at all?
Well, I wouldn't say worry, but I mean, I think it's true. I think people objectively, as you pointed out, would have to acknowledge that. You know, certainly with Oklahoma with the last six Big 12 titles comes in and really had an upper hand over Missouri over the years. And, you know, Texas isn't quite what it's been, but still has all the resources in the world to be good going forward. You know, Missouri wants to play with the big boys and wants to get better. I mean, it's a lot easier said than done. They just made the bold move with the hire of the new athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois. Dr. Moon Choi, the university president, says, you know, they want to, you know, take it onward and upward and be even more competitive in an ever-changing and ever-tougher SEC. So, right, it's going to be hard to win championships. Let's face it, it's been hard for Missouri to win championships in any sport in the SEC. They've got a couple in volleyball. They've got a couple of SEC East Division football titles, but no, it's tough, but I think they do appreciate being in the biggest and best league athletically, and they really feel that way. And, you know, it's only been 9 years, but it does feel like they have a safe home, if you will, you know, unlike all the turmoil that I just really do hate to see that's going on and on with the Big 12.
Well, the wild thing about the world now is Missouri is back in the Big 12 in wrestling, starting this year. And then if, right, if Oklahoma's right, going to the
we
SEC.
We can all get along if it's the proper sport.
Hey, see, you can always go back home.
That's nobody wrestles point in the very SEC good except Missouri. So then I suppose maybe will Oklahoma stay in the Big 12 when wrestling goes? I don't know. This is all about
Oklahoma
football,
and
so.
Oklahoma State can fight for a conference championship, and Iowa State and Missouri can join them in wrestling.
Oh, boy, what a wild time. Chris, thanks for your time.
Is.
Enjoy
yeah,
the call
thanks a
tonight.
Lot, Chris.
And go Tigers tonight. This is a big one. If they can get this one, they'll really be off to a great start. It's going to be tough, but have fun out there tonight, okay?
Okay, fellas. Always good to be with you. Thank you.
That's Chris Gervino from the Tiger Network right here on College Football Game Day.